Today on The Journey.
She will protect you. Love her, and she'll watch over you. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor.
Her guidance is reliable when you climb steep, rocky paths and when cruising smooth, open highways. She's a faithful companion on the sunniest of days and in dark, stormy nights. She is wisdom. And today, Ron Moore will tell you where to find her. Also, after the message, I'll let you know about Ron's challenging publication called Faith, Dead or Alive. It offers a vital examination of genuine faith. Faith, Dead or Alive is available as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with part one of a series titled Wisdom from Above, On the Journey.
We're going to look today at a subject that I am certain everyone wants. The subject is wisdom. Who is it that doesn't need wisdom? Take your Bibles and turn with me to James chapter 3. Let's read verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Now, what I want to do is to ask four questions as we deal with these verses. So here's the first question. What is wisdom? And to help us answer that question, turn back to the Old Testament, book of Proverbs, first chapter, first verses. We see in verse 1, this is written by Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, and he's writing this, look at verse 2, for attaining wisdom. The reason he writes this wisdom literature is so that we will be wise. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Let's go back through that and look at some descriptors. What is wisdom? In verse 2, he says, discipline and understanding are words that go right along with wisdom. Discipline, self-control, living a life that is self-controlled, understanding, insight, being able to see below the surface, insight into things of life. In verse 3, he repeats the word discipline and adds prudence, exercising sound judgment in practical manners. We all want to be prudent in what we do. In verse 4, he repeats prudence and adds discretion, being careful as to what you say and what you do. And then in verse 5, he gives two characteristics of someone who is wise. They are, one, a listener, and they are, secondly, a learner. They respect people and listen to what they have to say, and they are a lifelong learner. And then in verse 7, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of discipline is what? The fear of the Lord. An awe and a reverence for the eternal God. That's where wisdom begins. That's where discretion begins. That's where prudence begins. And that happens through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may be very successful by the standards of the world. Individuals may look at you for the answers. But unless you fear God, unless you have a relationship with the Creator, the Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how well you're doing now. There will be a day when the final buzzer sounds and you will realize that you have lived your life foolishly, because it's the beginning of wisdom. It's the fear of God. So today, as we look at wisdom, the first question I ask you, have you trusted in Jesus Christ? The beginning of wisdom, true wisdom, is the fear of God and awe and respect for Him. Turn over to chapter 4 of Proverbs, and let's look at verses 5 through 9. I want to read these because I just want us to hear the urgency. Look at verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom. And the writer personifies wisdom. She will protect you. Love her, and she'll watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom, though it costs all you have. Get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Get wisdom. Don't wait around. Don't put it off. There's urgency. You got to get it now. So it begins with the fear of God, but where do we go to get this wisdom? Let's go back to James chapter 3. And James is going to tell us there are actually two types of wisdom you can get in two places that it comes from. There's a counterfeit wisdom and there's a godly wisdom. He says in verse 17, and there's wisdom that comes from above. There's wisdom that comes from heaven. That's the godly wisdom. In verse 15, he says that there is wisdom that does not come from above. So let's look at the counterfeit wisdom first. Look at verse 15. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. And here James is saying that there is wisdom out there, but it is of the world. It is worldly. Now we know, as Christians, that we are not to follow the world, that we're to be in the world but not of the world. And we know there are things the world does that we don't want any part of. And yet, isn't it so easy to get sucked up into that worldly wisdom? Worldly wisdom is the me first mentality. I got to get it done. Me first. It's pleasure seeking. It is the intellectual. It matters what degrees you have hanging on your wall. If you are intellectual, if you are successful in that realm, that's real wisdom. The wisdom of the world is very materialistic, because if you have certain stuff, you've made it. So you must be wise to be able to acquire it. The wisdom of the world focuses on the temporal, just the here, just the now. Worldly wisdom. You know what God says about worldly wisdom? He said it's foolish. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, for it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise. I'll destroy the intelligence of the intelligent. I'll frustrate that. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him. So you can have all kinds of worldly wisdom and miss it all. Not know God. Worldly wisdom is counterfeit. There's another source. Look at verse 15 again. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but it is earthly. It is unspiritual. And the word here is literally sensual or natural. Here is the wisdom we get from our sinful nature, and we will carry it with us until the day we die. So we're a believer. We have a position in Jesus Christ. The penalty of sin is gone, but the propensity to sin, the desire to sin, is still there. It's this unspiritual wisdom. And you know what unspiritual wisdom does? It does two things. It desires to sin, and it will rationalize sin in our life. So we'll give in and convince ourselves that it's okay to sin a little bit. God is gracious. We can rationalize anything, but that is a counterfeit wisdom. There's one more source of counterfeit wisdom. Look at verse 15. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, is unspiritual, and is what? Of the devil. Satan is alive and well. And he is there to trip us up. He is a schemer. He is a liar and the father of lies. And Satan really only has one message. And it's a message he gave Eve back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. Same message he gives us today. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree of the garden?" Did God really say that? That's the same line that Satan gives us today, isn't it? Did God really say that? Do you really have to do that? Do you really have to live like that? Did he really mean that command? And even if he did, he's just trying to deceive you. Because you really want to run your own life anyway, don't you? You really want to be God. You really want to do things your way. Just do it your way anyway. God doesn't care. It really doesn't matter. Counterfeit wisdom. Three sources: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, James tells us that while there are three sources of counterfeit wisdom, there's only one source of godly wisdom. And that, of course, is from God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In Christ. There's only one source, and that is God. When you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that demonstrates that you are wise. And when I say that, I want to be careful, because it may sound like that as soon as you become a Christian, you are just full of wisdom. And that's not the case, is it? Christians do some foolish things. Remember, it is the beginning of wisdom. So there are three things that we need to do to grow in wisdom. They're very basic. You've heard me say them at least 100 times before. Three things. Number one, how do you grow in wisdom? You read the Word of God. This is God's instruction to us. You want to become wiser? You begin with a relationship with God, and then you grow as you read His Word. 2 Timothy 3, "But as for you," Paul tells Timothy, "continue in what you learn and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Another way you grow in wisdom is through prayer. James chapter 1, 5. James says, "If anyone lacks wisdom, what's he to do? Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to him." Reading the Bible, prayer, one more thing, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit who indwells the life of every believer. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, "I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better." So where do you go to get wisdom? Do you go to God? Do you go to his word? Do you spend time in prayer? Do you pray for the control of the Holy Spirit in your life? Where do you get godly wisdom? From above. One place: God himself. Well, if we were to get it, what does wisdom look like? In chapter 3, verses 13 and verse 16, there are characteristics of godly wisdom. But today, let's look at the opposite of godly wisdom, and let's look at what counterfeit wisdom looks like. Look at verses 14 and 15. But if you harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. Let's look at some characteristics of counterfeit wisdom. If these are evident in your life, then you have some work to do. Number one, envy is evidence of counterfeit wisdom. If you live your life envious of others, it's an unwise life to live. Another characteristic is selfish ambition. Is there selfish ambition in your life, characterized by gossip, characterized by slander, characterized by putting others down in order to build yourself up? Again, when there's selfish ambition, there's only room for one person. Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain deceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Another characteristic of counterfeit wisdom is boasting, pride. Godly wisdom is characterized by humility and submission. Man's wisdom produces pride, and pride loves to boast, doesn't it? Counterfeit wisdom. Another characteristic, last one, is deceit. Notice the slippery slope of this counterfeit wisdom. Envy leads to selfish ambition. Selfish ambition leads to boasting. And when you boast, you're always going to have to stretch the truth at some point or another. And living a life of denying the truth, living a life of deceit, living a lie is an unwise way to live. Any of these characteristics evident in your life? See, when I preach on Sunday morning, that means that I have had to deal with this all week long, beginning on Monday morning. And this was a tough one. It makes you stop and think about envy in your life, about jealousy. It makes you stop and think about boasting. Who are you really doing this for, yourself or God? It makes you stop and think, are you really deceiving yourself or others in anything of your life? You may think you have the real thing until you kind of peel back the bark. And then God said, you got some things to deal with. Any counterfeit wisdom in your life? One more question. What does wisdom produce? What is the fruit of wisdom? What's the result of wisdom? Again, let's look at counterfeit wisdom first. First of all, it produces confusion. Look at verse 16. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find what? Disorder. You'll find confusion. If a person follows the counterfeit wisdom of this world and of his own flesh and of Satan, if a person does not seek wisdom from God, they live a life of confusion. They live a life of disorder. Their priorities are askew. They are seeking things that don't count. They are putting emphasis on things that should be de-emphasized and de-emphasizing things that should be emphasized. A life of confusion. And it would be bad enough if it stopped with them. But we don't live on an island. So that confusion moves into our home with our relationship with husband and wife, moves into our family, and our kids grow up with it. Our neighbors see it. And if we profess to be a Christian, they say, man, that doesn't make sense. They say this, they do this. A life of confusion is one of the results of counterfeit wisdom. Here's another one. Bad decisions. Again, look at verse 16. Where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. Evil means worthless or of no account. Bad decisions. And we all know people who left to themselves make bad decisions. Now, all of us are going to make bad decisions. But if we're a believer and we're in tune to the Spirit of God, God is going to use that bad decision to bring us back to Himself. He's going to use it to teach us. He's going to use it to help us grow. But when our priorities are askew, when we're living a life of confusion, when our wisdom is based on the wisdom of the world, one bad decision leads to another bad decision, leads to another bad decision. And again, it would be bad enough if it just impacted one person. But bad decisions impact everyone you know, everyone you love, everyone you influence. Counterfeit wisdom. It's confusing. Bad decisions. But not wisdom that comes from God. James says that the wisdom that comes from God produces a harvest of righteousness. Characteristics of being pure and peace-loving and considerate and submissive and full of mercy and good fruit and impartial and sincere. Summing it up, verse 18, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Where I come from, about this time of the year, you're getting ready for the wheat harvest. And the combines will go into the field and they'll combine the wheat, they'll knock it down, they'll load it into trucks and they'll take it to the granary. The harvest is an exciting time. It impacts a lot of people. And so it is when you live a life of wisdom. God in His grace will allow us to slip it around the shoulders of a son or daughter. And as we exemplify wisdom and live a life of unconfusion and live a life of good decisions based on following Christ, it will impact their life and their children after them, and it will reap a harvest of righteousness. So today, get wisdom. And there's only one place to get it, from above.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. How do you know when your faith, or that of a friend or loved one, is a living faith? Is it proved by a walk down a church aisle, praying a salvation prayer, or attending catechism classes? Or is there other evidence that must be displayed? That question is asked and answered in Ron Moore's PDF booklet titled, Faith, Dead or Alive. In Faith, Dead or Alive, Ron outlines the characteristics of genuine belief and how you can perceive their presence animating your life. It's the most important waypoint on the spiritual journey. Faith, Dead or Alive is yours as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
Today, I want to go through 9 characteristics of godly wisdom. How do you know if wisdom is coming from above? And when it does come from above, these are the things that should be evident in your life. And you can ask yourself today, are these really the characteristics of my life? Would this demonstrate that these things are part of who I am? So here's the first one, humility. Look at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Now, James has told us that wisdom from the world is characterized by boasting. It's characterized by conceit. Sometimes that comes from the words we say, sometimes from the positions we hold, sometimes from the possessions we have. Wisdom from the world asserts itself selfishly, but not so wisdom from God.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your copy of Ron Moore's PDF booklet, Faith, Dead or Alive. It's a vital checkup on your spiritual health. Faith, Dead or Alive is available for a donation of any amount. You can get it online at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we want to invite Pittsburgh area parents and youth leaders to join us at the Bible Chapel on Saturday, March 21st from 9 a.m. to noon. We'll dive into the heart of parenting and what it looks like to raise a generation driven by technology and social media. It's the Bible Chapel's first relevant parenting conference titled, Together, Raising a Social Media Generation. In addition to the ins and outs of social media, you'll learn from FBI agents who are experts in cyber threats. You'll hear from parent and student panels about their personal experiences in raising a social media and tech generation. You'll also walk away with a packet of free resources and an opportunity to engage in ongoing, relevant parenting small groups. Walk-ups will be accepted, but you must pre-register to ensure your packet of free resources and childcare. Childcare will be provided for infants through 10 years old. Pre-registration closes March 14th. Visit BibleChapel.org to register. That's BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening. And we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.